Amen. Exodus chapter 21. Now, in Exodus chapter 20, we talked about the Ten Commandments. Seems to be, most of the commandments seemed to come across okay. Still much confusion about, or seems to be much confusion, not really confusion, just people wondering, and I like that. There's a commandment that says this, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And people still are going over that in their heads, which is good. I'm glad that you're doing that. Keep it up. Don't stop it till you get there. When we talk about the law, the Ten Commandments, God speaking the law out loud, I'd like for you to know, I didn't mention it before, but probably this is a good place to mention it. The law was the moral law, and that's what we read, the Ten Commandments, the moral law. What we're going into in chapter 21 now, you would call the civil law. Now, God has told us how to be, the Ten Commandments. That's how you and I walk on a daily basis. And now, and so we call that the moral law. Notice that you can break those commandments without actually physically doing anything. Each one of the commandments can be broken by a heart process. Does that make sense? So it's a moral law. Haven't you heard here in the United States, those of you that live there, haven't you heard it said you can't legislate morality? Have you heard that one? Let's see. And then, of course, they try. Nobody can make you think something if you don't want to. Nobody can get to your heart and get you to feel a certain way about it. Oh, I know, some people can sway you. But it's an issue that's a heart issue, and God looks on the heart, and everybody else looks on the wallet or the purse or the clothes or whatever those people are looking on. God looks on the heart. And so He says, here are the commandments. Now, Jesus, when He showed up, fully God, fully man, when He showed up, He said, now, you have heard it said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, what was He quoting? One of the commandments. He said, you've heard that said. You are mine now. Have you heard that commandment? Well, yes, sir, I have. Well, I say to you, not just the act, but in your heart, Bob, we'll go deeper now. Now that you have heard that, let me tell you what I'm getting at. You have heard it said, thou shalt not commit murder. Haven't you heard that, Bob? Yes, sir, I have. Well, then now I know you've heard it said, but I say to you now, you're mine and you're going to walk with me, not just the act of choking someone to death or hitting them with rocks or shooting them or whatever, stabbing them, but the in your heart being angry for no reason. Have you had a dream? Have you ever had a dream about somebody and they were really turkeys in that dream? And you see them the next day, I'm mad at you. Why? In my dream last night, you know what you did to me? What? What? Aren't we funny? It's a heart thing. It's in a heart where it is. God says, you've heard it said, but I say. Is He changing the commandment? No. What He's doing is reminding you and I what it's really all about. So the Ten Commandments we call the moral law. This is how you will live. Now we're going to talk about, coming up if I just do it, the civil law. Here's exactly what to do in specific cases. What happens if you have a servant and you punch your servant in the face and you knock a tooth out? I mean, now we're getting down to civil law. Dealing with each other on a daily basis. How can we, what if I want to sell you a piece of property? What if I want to trade you a pair of shoes for a bow tie? How do we do it? How does it work? That's the civil law. And then there is another law that we won't get to because really it's covered more in depth in the book of Leviticus. And it's called the ceremonial law. Ceremonial law. So we're going to have the moral law, we did, the Ten Commandments. Now we'll talk a little bit about the civil law. How do we deal with each other on a daily basis? We know what our hearts should be like and what direction we should be headed. But what we should be headed, that sounds funny. What direction we should be going. beheaded. It's a Revelation term. We'll get there. Anyway. You know, we'll be putting, pray for us, because we're praying about going on the radio. And it looks like we've got an opportunity to go on the radio. And so I was just praying about that this morning. I thought, Lord, I think what I'll do is I'll get a laugh track and put it in every time I think I made a joke. But tonight, you know, you're doing very well tonight. We may use this as that track. Just teasing. The ceremonial law. How do you worship God when you come to His house? What should the temple look like? How should it be built? Every one of these laws points you and I to Jesus. Every one of the laws, the moral law, the civil law, the ceremonial law, all of it points to Jesus. The Bible is written so that everything you do, you will begin to notice Jesus is all in all. There is nothing else that you need, nothing else out there hidden that you're going to discover. Nobody's coming from another planet to get you, planet, you know. And what's going to happen is you must decide sooner or later what you will do with Jesus. Either you will accept Him and begin to follow Him, or you will reject Him, but you must do one of those two things. That's what God's Word is all about. And so with that, knowing that this points to Jesus, you may see this a whole other way when we begin chapter 21, verse 1. Look, now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. Remember, God is now not speaking out loud. We said, we can't take that. It's too much. It's too powerful. He's awesome. You talk to Moses, or Moses, you talk to God, however you want to say it, and then tell us what He said. A mediator. And we talked about that last time we got together. So now God is speaking to Moses to say, tell this to the people. All right. If you buy a Hebrew servant of the children of Israel, if you buy a Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve. And in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. I like what God says, that's King James. Free for nothing. That means empty-handed. If he came in by himself or alone, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, and she have borne him sons and daughters, sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. Pretty tough neighborhood. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him into the judges. He shall also bring him to the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. That, I'm sure you picked up on it right away, is all about Jesus. That's exactly the reason he gave us that, is so that we would know what Jesus did and what Jesus is like and what it's all about. First of all, if you buy a Hebrew servant, how do you buy someone? That someone is either in complete poverty and can't eat or take care of themselves, or they are in so great a debt that they must sell themselves to a master to pay off a debt. That's how you get into being a slave, if you're a Hebrew. And we're discussing now Hebrews. So here's how you will do it among you. If you buy a slave, 6 years that slave will work for you, then the seventh he goes free. Now, if he came in by himself with nothing, he goes out by himself with nothing. If he came in with a wife, then he can leave with that wife. But if he is bought by you, you purchased him with a price, however he got there. Many people sold themselves into slavery because they had a debt that they could not pay. And if he came in alone, he leaves alone. If he came in with a wife, he leaves with that wife. Now, if you came in and you were alone, and you happened, there was another slave there, a girl, and you guys married, when you leave your family there. Excuse me. You don't take your family with you. That's not what you're used to, all of you. You may look at me and say, cool. No, that's not what you're used to. It's a little bit tougher than you're used to being dealt with. It's a little bit tougher than you're used to being treated. Now that you know basically the idea, here's a question. What person would want to be a slave? What man do you know that would naturally want to do that? There is no man. There is no man that wants to be a slave. Yet you read in here, here's how you will treat them. If the servant shall plainly say, he must make it clear, he must, beyond any reasonable doubt, any reasonable and prudent man would understand what he was communicating. He has to plainly say, I love my master. Now, what man would naturally say, I love my master, before he would say, I love my wife and my kids? Is there something going on here? I think there is, really. That man must plainly say, I love my master, I love my wife, my children, I will not go free. I want to be a slave for the rest of my life. And then, of course, his master shall bring him unto the judges. And he shall bring him to the door, or the door unto the doorpost, which is how you entered in and how you exited. That's how you get in. That's how you get out. There's only one way. And you bring him to that post and you pierce him there. His ear. They will put his ear up against this little part of your ear here, except for in the 90s. This little part of your ear put up against the door. They would take an awl, which is like not a little needle with ice behind it. You know what I mean? And they would drive it into the door post. So you were literally nailed to the house. You were nailed to the door. Now, of course, when they didn't leave you there for months, you weren't left there very long. As a matter of fact, they would then pull that out, rush you to the emergency room. No, they would just, now you had a pierced ear. Usually the left ear was the normal ear in that, at that time. And they would put a ring in your ear. So man or woman, whoever has a pierced ear, when we see them walking down the street, we know a pierced ear is the sign that you are a slave to someone. We just know it. I think we know it in the 90s too, but nobody talks about it. And of course, a slave by choice and a slave for life. All of this, I believe, points to Jesus. Jesus lived a perfect life. Jesus came to set captives free. He came to live a sinless life and to pay a price. As a matter of fact, a couple of times in Jesus' ministry, he said, if you'll do this, you have fulfilled the what? The law and the prophets. The law and the prophets. The law and the prophets. Remember that? And he mentioned that many times. The law and the prophets. Keep that in mind. Because that's the entire of what we're dealing with. Jesus came and sold himself into slavery. He didn't owe anything. Who did? Well, see, he came in my place. And he sold himself into slavery. He allowed himself to become low. He is God Almighty, yet he took off the robes of glory, stepped out of heaven to earth, and became just like you and I, completely human. What for? To take my place. He sold himself into slavery. He said, although I am equal with God, he doesn't count it anything to give that up and become less and become a slave to God. And let me read to you a few verses. You can turn there with me if you like. Let's see. He said, I've come to do the will of my Father. That's what I'm here to do. Philippians, I'm going to jump around, so hopefully this doesn't freak you out. Philippians chapter 2. And if you can't find it quickly, like a lot of times I can't, go ahead and just mark it down and read it later. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Now, we're going to share communion together. And this is a great time for you to listen to what God's Word says, you and I, apply it to our hearts, and take an opportunity to take tonight and start all over again with Jesus. Look at this, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus said, I love my master. And I came to be a servant to him. Look at Romans 15:3. Romans 15, verse 3. Well, let's start in verse 1. Let's put it all together. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ, Jesus, pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. Jesus didn't show up here to please himself. Question. If he took my place, he died in my place, died and risen again with Jesus, what should I from this moment on, not yesterday, worry about it, but what about from this moment on, what kind of person should I be like? Should I be living to please myself? Jesus, the Son of God, God Almighty, did not please himself. Whatever the Father said, that's what Jesus would do. Jesus said to John and to James and to Peter, he said, my soul, I'm going to paraphrase it. I'm brokenhearted. My soul is heavy unto death. This is hard for me. Was he not God at that point? Yes, he was fully God, but remember, fully human at that point. And he said, guys, this is hard. He sweat drops of blood. And then he looked at them and he said something that must have really made them wonder. He said, but what should I say? Should I say, Father, don't let me go through this? I'm paraphrasing. He says, no, I can't say that because this is the reason I came. This is what I want to do. I'm not here to please myself. No, this is not going to be a joyride. No, this isn't going to be a lot of fun. Yes, this will be painful. Yes, it will be miserable. It will be difficult. Suffering. But I am not here to have a party. I am here to please my master. I am a servant. I am a slave. And whatever my Father says do, that's what I do. And Jesus also went so far as to say, I don't do anything else. What my Father tells me to say, that's what I say. And I don't say anything else. I can't say that. What my Father tells me to say, many times I don't even know what He's talking about. And then I'm rambling. Difference between Jesus and I. Just not there only, but there too. How do you live? Do you live to please you? What are marriage problems caused by? Me living to please me. That's all. Nothing else. Quit paying $100 an hour to find that out at counselors. All the psychology in the world is not going to stop you from being selfish. It's not going to stop me from being selfish. I must quit living for me. I must begin to please my master. Now look, Jesus pleased not himself. Hebrews chapter 10. Go way on back to Hebrews chapter 10. You know this one, but we'll look it up anyway. Hebrews. Where is that? Go to James and turn left. Chapter 10. What verse do I want? I think I want verse 9. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Talking about the first Adam and the law and the offering for sins. Quote from the Psalms, the Messiah speaking, saying this, I come to do thy will, O God. When you came to Jesus, did you know yet that from that point on, you were saying, I am yours, I am your slave for the rest of my life. For how long? The rest of my life. And they take you to the door and they pierce your ear. And you are saying, making it clear, I want to do this. And I walk with Him. Jesus is our example. He humbled Himself and became a servant. He pleased not Himself. He said, I come to do your will. Now, there's a verse in here that says, verse 5 says, and if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master. I love my master. What did one of the commandments tell you, the first one? I'm the Lord your God. You shall not have strange gods before me. And when Jesus quotes that, He puts it all into one lump and He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. Didn't He say that? What must be first in your life? Your family? No. School? No. Music? No. What? You all know the answer. We all know it. But where the rubber meets the road, as they say in the trade, is that a fact? Is it true? That's most important. I love my master, I love my wife, I love my children. That's what the servant said. Jesus came and said, I love my Father, whatever He says, whatever. And when it caused death, when it caused suffering, when it caused turmoil and trouble, He did not stop because of that. And well-meaning followers of Jesus, Christians, if you will, tried to talk Him out of doing God's will. And it is pretty common for someone to try and talk you out of doing God's will too. All in the name of love. All in the name of Christianity. All in the name of just looking out for you, brother, sister. I mean, if you do that, you're going to hurt. Jesus said, I am going to hurt. But should I not do it? Should I just say, God, let me out of this? He says, no, for this is why I came. I came to do whatever God tells me to do for the rest of my life. Now, if you say, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that, I don't want to do that, oh, I'm doing this, I'm called, I'm this, I'm that, you aren't there yet. You yourself are not in a position. A servant does not tell the master what he's going to do or when he's going to do it. The master always tells the servant. And it goes on, after he says, I love my master and my wife and my children, I will not go free. I want to stay here. Then his master shall bring him to the judges. He shall bring him to the door and to the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear through with an awl. And he shall serve him forever. How long? Forever. Now think about that for a moment, because did Jesus become a servant to God? Yes. Did he say, I will do everything you tell me to do? Yes. How long will Jesus serve the Father? Think about it a second. How long will God the Son serve His Father? By choice. Hebrews 7:25. And I know Hebrews is still in there. Hebrews 7:25 says, wherefore he is able, talking about Jesus Christ, the Messiah, he is able also to save them to the uttermost, or completely, that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. How long will he make intercession for those who belong to him? Forever. Now you thought when you got to heaven and you were there in his presence, you thought he'd just sit back, relax, and you'd get to work, didn't you? The Bible teaches you, this you may not understand this exactly now, I'm not sure I understand it all. The Bible teaches you and I that, now listen to this, when we get to heaven, when we go to be in heaven, there is a marriage supper that will be prepared. And we are invited, as family of course, and we're going to sit at the marriage supper. Now who is going to serve you? Jesus. God, who owns the place, is going to serve. How embarrassing for us to get to heaven, not belong there, there by grace. I couldn't be good. I couldn't have ever gotten here. You got me here. Peter says, Lord, you wash my feet? And Jesus, what did he tell him? He said, Peter, you haven't got a clue what I'm doing, but you'll understand someday. And he says, I want to serve my God, and when I choose to, he will pierce me, and forever I will serve him. He thought it not ripping God off to be equal with God, but he took a servant's place for eternity so that you could get to heaven. Isn't that enough? For the rest of his life, and his life is eternal, he will have holes in his body from where he died for me. After you've been there a million years, and you will have, by the way, a resurrected, glorified body, yours will be all right. But there will be one who for eternity will carry the scars. John says, and I saw him. What did he look like? He looked as a lamb that was slain. How long has he been in heaven now? Long time. What does he look like? As a lamb that was slain, carrying the scars. You said to Thomas, you could put your fingers in there where the nail holes are. Put your hand. The wound is so big, you put your whole hand in my side. It's me, he said. Another thing that I think is cool, or if I were a Bible teacher, say interesting, Psalm 40. Because this teaches us, the master shall bring him to the judges. Shall bring him to the judges.
He shall also bring him to the door, to the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Now look at Psalm 40, verse 6. The Messiah speaking. We just read the verse 7 over in the New Testament, but listen. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ear you have opened. Look at the original word, and the word is pierced. As a matter of fact, if you were going to translate it literally, it would say digged. Something sharp ran through it. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ear you have pierced. Burnt offering and sin offering have you not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. He's talking about doing God's will and being willing to be pierced and being a servant to God forever and ever. For you, for me. He loves you so much. I don't know how it's going in your life. Chances are good it could be falling apart. It happens. If it's not falling apart now, maybe it was last week. If it's not, count on it. Maybe tomorrow it's okay. If it is, and you are telling me I'm at the end of my rope, I would say, I don't think so. Now, if you're at the end of your rope, God would know that, and He'd be jerking on it. You're not at the end of your rope. As a matter of fact, God Almighty is doing something, and so why are you trying to do your own will? Why not submit to this suffering? Why not submit to this rough ride? Why not bow down and say, I am yours? I choose to be yours. Even Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Even if he lets me die from this disease, I still love God and I am following. That's what a servant says. I love my master. I don't want to go free. Was there a time, now listen, this is, I think this will tie it all together, I hope. Was there a time when Jesus could have gone free? He had to fulfill the obligation, pay the whole debt. He had to do the entire job. Was there a time he could have gone free? I believe that there was a time when Jesus had an opportunity to walk free and not go to the cross. I believe that. And I believe the Bible shows us that, and I believe that's what we're supposed to be seeing when we see it. And it's over here in Matthew 18. And after 6 days, Jesus took Peter and James and John, his brother, and he brought them up into a high mountain separately or apart. And he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. What is going on? He is glorified. He is right now completed. Now listen closely. I hope this makes sense to you. I think that's what we're seeing here. And I don't believe I'm making this up, because as you follow it along, it goes with it. He is transfigured. And his clothes were white as light. Now let me tell you what that just said so you'll understand what's happening here. Something changed. He is glorified. Something went on inside his body. And the light didn't come from outside and make his clothes shine. The language says he was transfigured. He was glorified at this point, and his body so shone that he glowed through his clothes. In other words, the light was coming out through his clothes. When his clothes were white as light, bright light, that was coming from him, not from anywhere else. I think it's at this point he is saying, I have completely fulfilled the law and the prophets. Remember that term we talked about a while ago? The law and the prophets. I have done that. I have been obedient my whole life, and here I am.
It's going to be a short time now he goes to the cross. That's why this is going on, I believe. And what else happens? His face did shine as the sun. No light on him. Light coming from him. His clothes glowing. Light coming from him. And behold, there appeared to him. Now, isn't this interesting? Moses and Elijah, representing what? The law and the prophets. A fulfilling, a sinless man who walked completely with the Lord his God. There, transfigured, holy, completely surrendered to God. And at this point, Moses and Elijah. Wonder what they talked about. Maybe, then the master shall bring him to the judges. Just maybe, and I believe this is true, Moses and Elijah were there representing the law and the prophets. Jesus says, if you will listen to the Lord your God and walk with him, you will fulfill the law and the prophets. I think Jesus was saying, I have walked the path and I am now in a position to the point where it's time for that slave to go free. He put himself in a position. Or to make a choice and say, I want to stay your servant, your slave, forever. At that point, I have to go and get pierced so that people will see. And he did it for you and I. He shed his blood, and he, at that point, I believe, now it's not written there, so I'm just going to make this part up. Had he chosen to go ahead and say, okay, I've had enough, like most of us have said, in marriages and in jobs and in schools and in relationships and in all kinds of other things, how we've wimped out, we go, I have had enough. But Jesus didn't say, I've had enough. Jesus said, I love my master. I know the wife you're going to bring me. I want to keep that. I will stay with you as a slave, as a servant. I choose to. Now, doesn't the Bible say, I'll read it to you again, it shall be the servant shall plainly say, he's got to make it clear. I think there, you see the law and the prophets completely fulfilled. And what happens? Well, Moses and Elijah were talking with him, and Peter didn't know what to do, so he talked. I do that a lot. When you don't know what to do, you just start talking. Don't you do that? Because silence is just will kill you. Peter says to Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you will, let us make three tents. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. They recognized Moses and Elijah. I don't know how. Maybe they had name tags, you know, like at other churches, you know. Or maybe Moses and Elijah were working in the nursery. They had big old tape across their back. I don't know, but somehow they recognized who they were. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and God spoke. God told Peter, shut up. God had to interrupt Peter. That's pretty tacky. I'm sure it happens with me all the time. God interrupted Peter and said, listen, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. God just said, he has lived sinless. He is perfect. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Peter, shut up and listen to him. Now, I added my wife says you should say hush. Peter, hush. Loses something, doesn't it? And listen to him. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He is perfect. He has walked sinless before me. I am pleased. You listen to him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and they were scared to death. They were so afraid, they just hid their faces. Remember, if you close your eyes, they can't see you. Remember that when you were little? They hid their faces. Jesus came and touched them and said, get up, arise, and don't be afraid. And when they lifted up their eyes, nobody was there but Jesus by himself. As they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, said this. This is a command. Tell the vision to nobody until the Son of Man is risen again from the dead. Don't tell anybody what you saw here until I am risen. Because the resurrection showed you that the price that was paid on the cross for every one of us, God accepted it by raising His Son from the dead. So we know now we're fully accepted in Jesus Christ. Now, that's how you treat a slave. Now, Jesus, you read in Hebrews 7, forever and ever lives to make intercession for us. Do you have the idea carried throughout the rest of Scripture? Peter, James, John, Jude, Paul, every one of them said, used at one time in their writings, this word, doulos, which is a Greek word which means slave. But it doesn't just mean slave, it means slave by choice. Each one of those men I just listed to you called themselves a slave by choice to Jesus. Paul says, I am a doulos, a slave by choice to Jesus. The rest of my life, I will walk with Him. Not wanting peace, just wanting what He says. Not avoiding pain, just wanting what He says. If He takes me, sometimes He walks me around the rocks, Paul says. Sometimes I got to walk straight through them. But either way, He takes me and I go. Now we have this sort of Christianity built that says, I'll follow Jesus until it's uncomfortable and then I will look for a scriptural way out. Don't mistake, don't we? A scriptural way out. If I can find a scriptural way out, that's what I'll do. Right? And look at the church. I'm talking about the 20th century church. Look at it. Instead of being willing to suffer, willing to put up with, willing to love one another in spite of, we're falling apart. We're cracking up. We are no different now than the whole world. And so the world wants to know, what's the big deal? Come to Jesus, man. What for? What's the big deal? You're miserable, I'm miserable. Your marriage falling apart, mine's falling apart. What's the big deal? I go to so-and-so for X amount of dollars an hour and he fixes it. No, you go to so-and-so who has a fish. So what? What's the difference? What's the big deal? The big deal is, once we get this into our hearts, Jesus will change you and make you into an image of His Son. But you have to plainly say, I want to follow You the rest of my life. I love my Master. And I don't want to walk away from this free. I want to be a servant for the rest of my life. And you remember what Jesus did, willing to take a lower place so that He could purchase me. He purchased us. He bought me. I'm bought with a price. Now I am His. I should say, a doulos, a slave by choice. So I will work for whatever salary He says. I will go wherever He says go. I will stay wherever He says stay. And when I'm unhappy, I'll just get over it. He didn't call me to be happy. But He said I would be happy if I would just follow Him. And I'm looking for every other way to get happy. I don't want to do that. Well, nothing else will make you happy. Oh, yes, it will. You watch. I'll go. I'll show you. I'll be the very first one to prove God wrong. Make Guinness Book of Records. Watch. Didn't happen. It just didn't happen. I blew it. Have you been living that kind of life? Yes, I'm a Christian. I'm not about to do what He says. That's going to cause heartache. That is going to cause misery. That's going to make me look stupid. It's going to make me look embarrassed. That is going to make me stand out. I don't want the pain. I haven't got time for it. I don't want the hurt. I don't want... Well, wait a minute. I thought you said, I am a Christian. I belong to God. If He says, eat, I do. And if there's no food, then He's saying, don't eat. He's in control of everything. Now, we're going to share communion together. When you share communion together, we break bread to remember what Jesus did. Not only did he shed his blood and die, but he took a lower seat. And he said, I come to do the will of my Father. The world is trying to get you to go a certain way. And Jesus calmly says, here's the door. I'm the door. They pierce him right there. This is the only way in. This is the home. This is the only way in. I am the way and the truth and the life. Do you want peace? Yes, I do. Come through Jesus Christ. Do you want happiness? True happiness? Yes, I do. Come through Jesus Christ. But it's a walk. It's a commitment. We are different than the rest of the world. We still do the same sins, and we're pretty tough on each other because of it. But as we grow, less and less should that be. As you grow closer to the Lord your God, your walk is stronger. You're walking in the Spirit more and more the things of God. Less and less the things I used to be. Where are you? I don't need to know. I need to know where I am. Where are you? You say, oh, that's a message I got to get to so-and-so. No, you missed it. This wasn't for so-and-so. This was for me. And if right now three people popped into your head, you missed it. Oh, I'm glad so-and-so is here tonight, sitting a few rows back there. I hope they're listening. You missed it. This is for me. This wasn't for so-and-so three rows back. He or she, if they didn't get it, they missed it too. But you see, right now is a great opportunity for me to go, hey, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I know a way out of it. I can follow Jesus. Let's bow our heads together. The praise band.